Father, help me today. Thank you that your word is powerful. I pray that as I share this message, it's on my heart, that Father, you touch each of us wherever we are at and do something powerful within us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, my whole life, and growing up even as a teenager, I began to recognize the value of faith. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. I heard about it in the Old Testament, and then I read it as I, and then I'd see it in the New Testament, the word faith. I would see scriptures like, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so I'd always be challenged to have more faith, grow in faith, have greater faith, etc. And I found that life would kind of be sporadic, like there'd be miracles and then there'd be dry times, and I knew that it was God's will, but that I had to believe. And believing, if you're not careful, can really get you into trouble where all you think about is, I've got to believe more, I've got to believe higher, I've got to believe greater. How do I do that? Well, then you subtly begin to get back into works. Well, I've got to do this more, and I've got to do that more. And pretty soon you're right back where you started before you gave your life to Christ, trying to be good enough for God to do something for you. And today, I want to prepare you for a new year, 2020, with great faith. You know, there's two people in the New Testament that Jesus commented on their great faith. One was a soldier, and one was a woman who, when she asked Jesus for the miracle that she was requesting, Jesus was almost harsh with her when he said that the miracles were for the Jews, not for the dogs, which is what they called her race. And she said, yeah, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs under the table. And Jesus looks at her and says, whoa, this is the kind of the greatest faith I've seen. And then there was a soldier who came and wanted a friend of his healed. And Jesus said, he said to Jesus, well, I'll come heal him, Jesus says. And the soldier says, no, I'm a man under authority. You don't need to come to my house. You just speak the word. And Jesus looked at them and he just didn't see. He says, this is great faith. The two people in all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that had great faith, and everyone's trying to figure out what that great faith was. So we've heard lots of messages from the centurion on understanding authority, and there's a lot of truth to that. And then we see this woman who was persistent, and there's a lot of truth in that. But what in the world did they have in common? What was it they had in common that gave them this great faith? And what was it they had in common that just caused these miracles to explode in their life? Because I want that. I want the miraculous power of God in my life, my family, the generations that are going to be after me when I'm gone. I want that great faith. And the only thing you can really find is neither of them were Jews. Neither of them. Which means neither of them were trained in the rules of the law. Neither of them were trained in all the things you had to do. They simply came to Jesus as a matter of seeing him, a miraculous man, and they just came upon his mercy and believed, and they received miracles. And it began to really help me to realize that so many of us have been raised in religion. Religion always has new rules, and if things don't work out for you, you're probably breaking a rule somewhere. Go fix that rule. Or you're probably not doing enough of something. Go do more of it. And subtly, faith, which was supposed to be this ability to just trust in God, It became like the faith is the power source. That it's if you've got enough faith, because Jesus talked about great faith, weak faith. He talked about, I've not seen such great faith. He told everybody that out of probably, I think, 17 out of the 20 times he healed people, he would say things like, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And so it just really begins to place this thing. I want great faith. But there's some interesting things we have to think about. After the cross, nobody was ever told, you just got a miracle, go your way, your faith has made you whole. No one was told that after Jesus died on the cross. Something has changed. And here is where people struggle. Before Jesus died on the cross, people needed a word from God. They needed to trust in a word from God. Moses got a word from God. Abraham got a promise from God. Different people would have God speak to them through he speak to them, or an angel would speak to them, and people would believe, and it was wonderful. But after Jesus died, something took place. And the Bible says in Hebrews that the deal that we have with God now is easier, greater than anything that was. And we all struggle with that, because when you read the Old Testament, you go, well, these guys parted Red Seas. These guys, you know, would lay down on a dead body and would come to life. The miracles they had. But yet, you and I, it says, have a better agreement with God, a better covenant with God than they had. So what should we focus on? Should we be focusing on more and more and more faith? The Bible is interesting. It's fascinating. It's continually bringing out truth. As you begin to study God's word, the word begins to take root in you, and incredible things begin to happen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's a freedom. See, this freedom that Jesus brings is a freedom in every sense of the word. See, being depressed isn't free to use the soul and the mind that God gave you. Being sick isn't freedom to use the body that God has blessed you with to house this spirit that you are to walk on the planet. This freedom is all-encompassing. It's everything that you need to be who you are in Christ and to do the things that Jesus says you can do, where the Spirit of the Lord is. And so when we give our lives to Christ and He comes in, it is His Spirit that makes the difference. There's an interesting story, and for time's sake, I'm not going to go into it and read it. I'm going to just tell it to you really quickly. When Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, and there's a whole story here but I'm just going after one specific thing. You know, and when he came down the second time, his face was so glowing from having been with God that they put a sack over his head. They put a veil over his face because his face just glowed. And then he would take it off when he would go in to the presence of God, and he would put it back on when he would be amongst the people. And I used to think that was because his face was so bright it was hurting people's eyes. But the Bible actually teaches us later on in the Word, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it teaches us that the reason that Moses put a veil over his face is he didn't want the people to see that the glory of God that was revealed in the skin of his face was fading away. Wow. That's a real different look at this. That the presence of God that was coming out of Moses' face because he was with God was fading away. You know why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is victory and health and healing and joy and peace and blessing and all that God has for you and I. But Moses was not a born-again man. All that could really happen was his body and his face kind of revealed he'd been with God. But when you give your life to Jesus, this Spirit of God that Moses came up to because of Jesus comes within you and I. And it never fades away. In fact, the Bible says from glory to glory, he's changing me. So when we begin to go back into, I need to focus on my faith. I need to have greater faith. I need to read more, pray more, fast more, give more, be better, help more. Like, it's all back to you again. Now it's all self-righteousness. You're just trying to and what the Bible's trying to show us is that there's a place of walking at where the presence of God that is within us is flowing. Leon, how can we do that? How can we have that? The Bible's interesting. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says this. It says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision. So you got people who are circumcised. In other words, that's a type of person who's just following every law they can. Then you've got uncircumcision. This is the person that doesn't do anything. Do whatever I want. Yeehaw. Neither avails. But it says a faith that works by love. A faith that works by love. Growing up and studying the Bible as a young man, I was never interested in love. Love to me was just an emotion that gave you, you know, made you smile and your leg popped if you kissed somebody. And love was, to me, never strength. To me, love was never something that I needed to be focused on. I want to be focused on the gifts of the Spirit and faith and believe God, because that's how I'm going to go and change the world for this Jesus. But here it says, faith works. Now, when you use the word worketh, it means it works. Faith works. I don't know about you, but lots of times it seems like my faith didn't work. Anybody here batting 100%? And so people tend to back away from the word faith. We had the great revelation season as great men taught faith and begin to bring this back into our world, because there was a time until I began to understand faith that I just thought that God was going to do what God wanted to do, and there's nothing you could do to stop what God wanted to do. If it was bad, it was God. If it was good, it was God. If it was mediocre, it was God. God is God, and God's going to do what he's going to do. That's kind of what I believed. And then when I began to understand faith, I began to understand that my response as to not how much faith I have, but what I believe, was very crucial. And today I want to challenge you with some thinking thoughts. I don't have time to unveil, just dive into this, but to begin to place some seeds of God's word in you, that this faith, it's not about how much you have. It's what you believe. What you believe. You see, all of us as believers have been given the measure of faith. It's not that you don't have enough. It's just that there's a freedom in your life to believe whatever you want, and you get to believe whatever you want. I've heard people tell me all the time, I just don't know what to believe anymore, whether they're talking about the American political situation or whether they're talking about religions, who's telling the truth. I hear this all the time. I just don't know what to believe anymore. Well, I'm telling you, you better figure that out quick. Because what you believe is what's going to change your world more than anything else. Not how much you believe. You could have great faith in Buddha. You could have great faith in your car. You could have great faith in the government. You could have great faith in your marriage. You could have great, but the Bible's very clear that this faith that you and I have is to be placed in a man, the Son of Man, yet the King of Kings. And his name is Jesus. So this faith that we have isn't each of us looking for a specific word from God, but this Jesus who died on a cross for you. You and I are living in a different covenant. We're living in a different agreement with God. The agreement that we have with God now is that this Jesus, born as a baby, who lived and died for you and I, he died to exchange his life and give his life to us and take our life from us, and he took it to the cross. And so you and I are heirs. We are children of God. And so it's not like how much do you believe in healing? That's not the issue. How much do you believe in prosperity? That's not the issue. It's what do you believe about it? Well, I believe, if God wants to heal you, he can. I said, that's easy to believe. The devils believe that. The devil believes God can heal. Faith isn't believing God can heal. If you were to ask everybody, if there's a God, does he heal? They'd all say yes. What do you believe about this? And what do you believe about you? What do you believe about God rescuing you from any situation? Sickness, disease, sudden death, calamity. What do you believe about God rescuing you when you die? Where do you go? What do you believe? What? And here, the world, especially the church world, we've kind of just given up. And we just think, well, doctrine's not that important. You know, what the Bible says is not that big a deal. Are you kidding me? The Bible is what to believe. The Bible is where to place your faith. Other than that, you're just going to pick someplace? You're just going to focus on something? Well, you know, I felt better. Oh, now we're back to your feelings, which are never the same any given hour. What do you believe? And what are you going to put your faith in? I made a choice that it was Jesus and what he did for me. From the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, him sitting at the right hand of the Father. These are the things that I have set my faith in. And I want to encourage you to understand that faith, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Or let me put it another way. Faith comes by hearing and understanding the words of God, understanding Jesus and what he has done. It's crucial that you begin to immerse yourself in God's word, that you have an understanding of, so I just don't understand. Stop. One of your problems is you believe you don't understand. I don't know how many people tell me, well, I said, well, Leon, I'm just struggling in this area. What should I do? And I'll say, well, you know, the word says this. And if you want a good teaching on that, I know of a great book that a great teacher of God's word will lead you through that topic. Or I know a great series that helped me go listen to that topic. And in most cases, they go, yeah, I don't have time. You read it and tell me what it says. Adam, say that. Okay, just a minute. You want change. You want to get up and begin to live a life that is blessed and healthy and joyful and meaningful and purposeful. That kind of a life will only come from believing the truth, from believing right things. And that will only be found in the Word of God, where you will begin to see who Jesus is. And then you will begin to have a relationship with him. I went through a phase in my life years ago where I just felt if I really know doctrine, if I really know the Word, that's where I'm going to be. And then I began to meet people in my travels who knew Greek and Hebrew, and they knew all this stuff. And I mean, and then when I met them, there was no joy, no peace, no flow of God, no miracles. Most of them didn't believe in miracles. And I began to realize it's not just in knowing about someone, it's in knowing someone. I wouldn't be happy to be married to Sally and then have a whole room full of books about her. Wouldn't that be boring? But to actually know her and to have her and to grow with her, this is how we need to look at just Jesus. See, in Galatians 5, 6, where it says, faith works by love. If you in this new year want to live a life of growing and trusting and seeing God's favor in your life, it's time to go into the Word and recognize how much He loves you. And all through the Word, it talks about love in Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And so I'm not making another rule for you. I'm just saying that as you begin to love God and recognize He's a God of love and read the Scriptures and realize everything's about how much He loves me, how He died for me, how He made a way for me, now my faith isn't anchored in how much I believe. It's anchored in this Jesus. And when I see how much He loves me, it changes my world. In 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. In 1 John 4, 19, we love Him because He first loved us. I used to agonize over how much I loved God. We would sing certain songs in my dad's church, and it'd be songs about loving God. And I remember tears streaming down my face as I just, oh God, I want to love You more. I didn't know how. How do I love You more? Do I do more things for You? Do I have to sacrifice more things for You? What do I do to love You more? And then this verse, we love Him, how? Because He first loved us. If I focus on how much He loves me, my love back becomes natural. By just seeing how much Jesus loves me. In closing, I'll give you a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed all the time. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Let me just, for a couple minutes, just guide you through this prayer. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might. If you're looking for strength, spiritual strength brings physical strength. Spiritual strength brings mental strength. Spiritual strength brings relational strength. That you would be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ would dwell in your heart through faith, and that you would be rooted and grounded in love, and able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Let me just give you a direction for this new year. If you want to begin to rise up and see the presence and the power of God in your life in a greater way, to see your life begin to follow the paths that Christ has prepared ahead of time, become more aware of the purpose and the goodness of God, you need to become aware of how much He loves you. How much He loves you. And where do you see that? You see that when His Son dies for you, when He's nailed to a cross for you, when He goes to hell and became sin, when He rose again. Jesus could only rise again because He believed that He would. He paid the price. He rose again so that not only was the sin dealt with, but so that you and I could have the life of God in our lives. As you begin to see this, you will begin to have this rock solid faith that goes, God, not do what He promises? Impossible. He loves me too much. You hear me? I said, me. It's amazing growing up, I would look around and see other pastors and leaders who stayed in our home, and I'd be impressed by their preaching, by their ability to move in the gifts of healing. Someone would begin to prophesy, and I would see them say things to people there's no way they could know as God used them and moved through them. And I just begin to develop this amazing faith that, man, God uses him and her, and wow, but God used me. Well, I don't know, gosh golly gee. I mean, like, and I just couldn't get that he loved me as much as he loved them. This prayer, I would encourage you to pray it. Just start today. On into this new year, pray. Paul says, I bow my knees and I pray this prayer. What was this prayer? That you'd be grounded in love, that you would know his love, that you'd be filled with the fullness of God. And the end of this prayer is saying, when you begin to recognize how much you're loved, then what goes on in your life will become exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or think, if you could just know how much you're loved. You know, to you grandparents that are here, isn't it amazing how that your grandkids don't even worry about getting something from you about their behavior? They just know that you love them so much, if they ask for it, they're going to get some gum. They're going to get an ice cream cone. If they come over and just sit in your lap and say, hey, could you come play Barbies with me? They just know I'm not going to go. Well, were you good yesterday? What were you doing at 8 o'clock? What were you doing at 9 o'clock? They don't even think that. They just know they are so loved that if they can make it to Grandpa, they're probably going to get whatever they want. And yet we look at Father God, and we immediately begin to pull back. I'm going to challenge you this year. If you want this year to be something you've never had before, stop trying so hard to be better, and instead begin to recognize how much you're loved. Because this power that begins to flow in your life will assist you in all of your behavior. It'll assist you in the things you want to change. Rather than just behavior modification, something goes on in your heart and your whole world changes. If I can leave you with this thought, it's not how much you believe, it is what you believe. And I've got a question for you. What do you believe? Well, Leon, how will I know what I believe? Maybe you should check out what you expect. If I say to you, what do you expect this year? Well, I really don't know. There's a belief right there. You don't know what this year's going to bring. Really? I thought the Bible says the future's in his hand. I thought the Bible says that the paths are prepared ahead of time. I thought the Bible said he'll make a way where there is no way. I thought the Bible says that the hills will be brought down and the valleys brought up, but that God will never leave you or forsake you. Well, yeah, no. You said you don't know. You just showed me what you really believe. Maybe it's time to stop being a lazy Christian and just wait for a 30-minute message once a week and go discover the truths of God's Word until what you believe changes everything in your life. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray that we would just be so in love that, Father, as we see how much we're loved, that this year we would begin to expect the favor of God. We would expect the mercy of God. We would expect all things to work together for good. We would expect that your presence goes ahead and prepares our way. We would expect that, Father, it is your goodness that's always flowing our way. I pray that this strong expectation would come as we begin to fall in love with your love letter, the Bible. Father, I pray that 2020 would be a time of a simple faith just believes on Jesus, what he has done, so that we can live this life that you've prepared. And for those that are here today, Father, who feel like they've committed some unpardonable sin, or their past is just too bad, or things they have done is going to just cost them their future, I pray that you would show them that Jesus paid the price, and that not only are they forgiven, but they have a new life. That, Father, there is no curse that can come because Jesus took the curse. And as we begin to focus on the true gospel, we would see how loved we are, and we'd begin to know that love. I ask you this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen and amen.